the Word, and hopefully you brought your Bibles. If not, you can follow along. And Father, we thank you for your holy, written, and precious Word. With it, you've made the heavens. And Lord, we thank you that your Word will be heard. It'll be kept in our hearts. We will receive knowledge, insight, wisdom, and understanding about your kingdom and your ways. And we thank you for leading, guiding, and directing all of this by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. How many has ever heard of a sure thing? You know, maybe you were approached with a business endeavor, and the person pitching you said, this is a sure thing. You're guaranteed to make money. Well, many look for something that guarantees success or that cannot fail. You know, people want a sure thing. And they look for that slam dunk in life that will bring them fame, fortune, notoriety, and success. But there's only one place where the true sure thing exists, and that is God and God alone. God is the only sure thing that has ever existed and ever will exist. And the sure thing is found in a characteristic of God that we're going to talk about today is immutability. Amen? I know that that's a big word, but God's going to give us some understanding on what that means. And in Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13, we're going to read to verse 20. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So God is the only sure thing that is guaranteed 100% to succeed and never, ever, ever to fail. All right? Let me define what a sure thing is. It's an outcome that is certain or assured. It's a certainty. It's a sure thing. It's yes, indeed. It's designed to express an enthusiastic assent. It's something that should be certain. It's a clearly established fact. It's inevitable. It's indisputable. It's predictable. It's a slam dunk. It's fixed. It's inflexible. It's invariable. It's unalterable and unchangeable. How many want a sure thing? If you're going to get a sure thing, you've got to have something that's going to last and not fail. Otherwise, it's going to disappear But God is a sure thing. And the immutability of God is his ability to not have to change. What God does, he doesn't have to redo. What God said, he doesn't have to take back his words. Amen? God will not change in his promise. God will not change in his oath. God will not change in his character. God will not change in his nature. God will not change the truth. Amen? It is the immutability of God. He does not change. And God's immutability is our reliability. You can rely on it. You can trust in it. All right? God's immutability is trustworthy. God hasn't diminished since the garden. Everything God said is still moving forward. God can make a promise now, and it may not be fulfilled till 400 years later, but his promise is so powerful that what he said is going to stay steady, stay steady, stay steady until it happens. See, this is good news for us, because it will boost our trust in God. Knowing that God cannot fail, knowing that God doesn't change. God's immutability is our guarantee that God will do what he says. Everything that God says, he will do. Every word that comes out of his mouth is an anchor to your soul. It's something that you can hang on to. It's something that can handle the weight. It's something that will not let you down. That anchor to the soul will not rust, will not lose strength, but it will keep your soul for eternity. God's immutability is his ability to perform promises. The series that we're talking about is Heirs According to the Promise. God's promises. What he promised us, he will perform. All we have to do is believe that he'll do it. Do you believe that God will do what he said he would do? Can you just think about it for a minute? A long time ago, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And days went by, weeks went by, months went by, years went by. The promise was given way back there. But then, when the time came on the day of Pentecost, what God said way back there came into reality here. But here's the point. This is immutability. What God said here didn't change, didn't diminish, didn't weaken, didn't falter until it came to pass. And this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we love. This is the God that we can put our trust in. God's immutability is God's guarantee of faithfulness. Is our God faithful? Listen, God will stick with you more than anybody else on this planet. For some of us, God has had great patience. When you were born, God put in your DNA his divine plan. He created you for an assignment, for a purpose. And God waits until you get a hold of that promise. You can live 50, 60 years and not get into what God wants you to have, but God is patient until you get a hold of it. His word is good until you believe it. That's his immutability. His unchangeableness. Okay. Let me give you some proof. All right? Go with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And look at verse 11. The counsel of the Lord lasts for about 100 years. Does your Bible say that? No. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Woo! Do you realize the advice that God gave you here is going to last you and last you and last you? God's counsel will outlast the Energizer Bunny. Amen? His counsel stands forever. His advice, his wisdom. I mean, the same wisdom that created the earth is the same wisdom that he gives to us now. Doesn't change, doesn't weaken, doesn't lessen in effect. Okay? Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And verse 27. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Listen, God started a business in the garden. That business has been continuing for thousands of years. His business hasn't changed. His business hasn't lessened. He has never been on the brink of bankruptcy. Matter of fact, he's got so much that he'll meet your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He's got an abundant supply of mercy. His mercy is new every morning. He's got so much mercy, he gives it to you new every morning. Fresh mercy awaits you tomorrow. It's the same mercy that God has shown over time, decade after decade, generation to generation. He does not change. That makes me, an heir of God's promise, very, 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 very excited. You are an heir according to this promise. It's good to know that nothing... See, if you knew that God would change, then you couldn't trust him. If God were to change one thing about him, you know, think about what would God have to change? He does not have to change anything. Does God have to change the way he does things? No. God is perfect. Go with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And look at verse 14. Now keep in mind, Daniel saw this many, many years ago, but it's still true today. Daniel 7, verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So his dominion is not going to diminish. God's dominion doesn't diminish. It continues to go on. He's going to dominate. He dominates everything. And guess what? Through Christ Jesus, he wants us to take the dominion that never changes and to dominate this earth. You and I need to dominate. Some of us have been dominated, but we need to turn it around and we need to start taking dominion. Some of you have been dominated by lack. It's now to take over lack and turn it into prosperity. How do you do that? You do what God said to do with your finances. You handle your finances like God said. You do what he said because what he said works. Here's the thing. Why cannot God change? All right? Number one, when something changes, there is a point before the change and a point after the change to illustrate that a change has taken place, right? Let's just use natural growth. There was a point in time when my voice was not what it is now. As I was growing, my voice was a certain way, but then there was a point in my life when my voice changed. And while I was going through the change, my voice would crackle and my voice would reach high pitches until it became my voice. But there was a point in time I could know before the change and I could know after the change that a change had taken place. See, there has to be, and see, God doesn't operate by time. You will find no clocks in the throne room. God does not have an alarm clock. Amen? God does not wear a wristwatch. God does not have an iWatch, an Apple Watch, right? Doesn't need one. Why? He is eternal. He always was. He always will be forever and ever and ever. God is so good, he doesn't have to change. See, in order for a change to take place, it has to take place in the constraints of time. But God exists outside of time. Time is only for us, not for him. And besides, God's never late. There has never been a time in history when God was late. God has never said, "Oh, Gabriel, Michael, I'm late for my meeting." No, never happened. Never happened. All right? You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 41:13 says, "May Yahweh, the God of Israel, be praised from everlasting to everlasting." Psalm 98:1-4 says, "Lord, you have been our refuge for in every generation." Do you realize every generation since creation comes to God the same way? The way that we get saved has not changed. It is so good, it is so perfect, it is so wonderful, it doesn't need to change. Because God is immutable. All right? Number two, if anything changes, it must change for the better or for the worse. Right? A change that makes no difference is not a change. A change for change to take place, something that is needed must be added. That's a good change. But when something that is needed is taken away, that's a bad change, right? Okay? But since God is perfect, nothing can be added to God to make him better. Nothing can be added to God to make him love you more. Do you realize that no matter what you do, God's love for you doesn't change? He may not like what we do sometimes, but he will never stop loving us, you and I. God's love for you will never change. He loves you when you were bad. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you don't do what you should. I just threw that in there. Isn't that true? God loved you before you met Jesus. God loves you after Jesus. His love doesn't change. It doesn't need to. It's perfect. God cannot change for the better. And God cannot change for the worst. I mean, if you were to take away something from God, this whole universe would fall apart. I mean, if God lied once, this whole universe would crumble. Because it's held up by his word. And if there was to be one fault, one crack in one word from God, everything we know would fall apart. All right? Number three is when someone changes his or her mind, it's because new information has come to light that was not previously known. Or circumstances have changed that require a different kind of attitude or action. Because God is omniscient, he knows everything. He knows the end before the beginning. Therefore, what new information are you going to present to God? Huh? God doesn't need any new information. He has all the information that he needs. So therefore, if you can't, okay, well, what about when God wanted to wipe out the Israelites and Moses interceded and God said, okay, I'm not going to do that. Did God change? No, Moses changed. Moses prayed and asked for mercy, and because God's mercy is new every morning, God gave him mercy. God didn't change his mind, but the people changed their attitude toward him. Listen, God is a creator. He gives us a new song, a new life, a new way of living, a new anointing, a new walk. So what new information are we going to give to God that he's not going to say, yes, I know that? I mean, think about it. You know, so God doesn't change his mind, but he allows people to conform to his word. Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world. See, the problem is too many people are conformed to the world or the world system. They think like the world, they act like the world, they talk like the world, and therefore they have the world's results. But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds, so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, the thing that needs to change is us. We need to get God's information into us and change us. God doesn't need to get information to change him. We need to get his information into us. And then changes will occur. All right? Go to Malachi 3:6. Is it okay if I encourage you with scripture? I'm not going to encourage you with opinion. I'm not going to encourage you with feeling. I'm going to encourage you with God's word. This is the most potent form of encouragement that anyone could ever have. It's the most potent form of comfort that anyone could ever receive. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Notice, whenever the Lord describes himself, back in Exodus, he said, Moses said, who do I tell the people that is sending me? Tell them, I am that I am. You know, God never describes himself as I was. Or he never describes himself as I will be. Why? Because as I am, he is as good then and is going to be as good now. He's going to still be good over there. Why? He is I am. And we have no right to take the I am and say he was. I am your healer. He will always be your healer. He will be your healer throughout the expanse of time. I am your Savior. He will always be your Savior. I am God. He will always be God. I am your deliverer. He will always deliver you. I am the way. He's always the way. I am the truth. He'll always be the truth. I am the life. He'll always be the life. That's why in Exodus he says, I am. That's why in Malachi he says, I am. And that's why he's still I am today. Remember when the soldiers in John, they came to get Jesus and they said, who is he? And he said, I am. He revealed something about his character. And when he did, all the soldiers fell to the ground. Poof. Sometimes when you encounter I am, amen. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. This is powerful. Matthew 24 and 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Whoa. So why does it take us so long to believe what God said? If his words aren't going to pass away, his words are going to outlast heaven and earth. All these tree huggers and whale savers and they're trying to, listen, there's nothing wrong with saving a whale. Just don't put more emphasis on a whale than you do on a person. I mean, if you want to save a whale, fine. But are you as adamant about saving a person as you are a whale? Besides, you're trying to save something that's going to pass away. Hug it onto a tree. Eventually, that tree is going to pass away. I mean, fine, if you want to save a tree, fine. But on the scale of priority, is a tree greater than a person? Some people will fight more for a tree than they will a person's life. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my words, what I said, what I say, will never pass away. So are you going to put your trust in the earth? Or are you going to put your trust in his word? You put your trust in the earth and eventually it's going to pass away. And you'll end up disappointed. But when you put your trust in his word, it's going to last and last and last. God's word never loses its flavor. God's word is not like a cup of coffee that sat on the counter for a half an hour. Now I'm a coffee drinker. I like coffee. Jehovah Java, the God that makes you go. No, just kidding. I just threw that in there for fun. But when I drink coffee, I like coffee that's hot. If coffee has sat out on the counter for a half an hour, it loses its heat, and you go to drink it, and I feel like going, you know what? That's how God feels about us. Did you know that? He said, I want you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. What does lukewarm mean? Lukewarm means you blend in with your environment and no one can tell the difference about you. As Christians, we need to have a difference about us. We got the ever-living, ever-abiding word on the inside of us. The word that created the nations, created the worlds, created the sea. It's living in us. We can live by this word. We can take this word and put it into practice in our life, and it will do good to us. You don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 7:9 says God's word stands for a thousand generations. Now let's just take this for example. Let's just say a generation is 40 years, okay? And 1,000 generations is 40,000 years. How many of humans do you know are going to last 40,000 years? But God's word is good to every generation. The generations that have come, the generations that are yet to come, God's word, the same word that was good to them is going to be the same word that was good, is good to those coming. Amen? It doesn't change. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. This will help build your trust. I'm giving you some trust supplements today. Isaiah 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. God purposed what God thinks is going to come to pass, and what God purposes is going to stand. Amen? Did you know that God... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 17. Every good gift... And every perfect gift is from where? Don't blame something bad that you got from God. God does not give bad things. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. A variable is something that changes in a math equation, right? Whenever I got into algebra and they started replacing letters with numbers, and you had to find the value of X. X doesn't have a value. No, I'm not a math major, so I don't major in math. But for you math majors, you know. But X was considered a variable. The value for X could change because X could be anything. It could change to 1, it could change to 10, it could change to 15. But in God, there's no shadow of turning. There's no inkling of turning. There's no variableness. There's no changing in God. Guess what? God is the giver of good gifts. God will always give good gifts. God will never give you anything bad. God did not give you that pain that you had in your hip. God did not give you that disease that came into your body. God did not give you the miserable life that you claim to have. Well, if God didn't give it to me, where did it come from? It came from sin. Because we're born into a world that's full of sin, and sin negatively affects the earth. It negatively affects us. Did you know until sin came, there was no sickness in this earth? But when sin came in, it brought sickness with it. God is not the author of sickness. God is the author of life. God is always for life. He is never for the opposite. He is the resurrection and the life. That means wherever Jesus is, something is going to be raised and something is going to be made alive. All of us were dead once. We were spiritually dead. But God came into our hearts, and what happened? We were made alive in Christ Jesus. You were brought out of darkness and into his light. Say this with me. Say, it is impossible for God to lie. When God says he opens blind eyes, he means it. But the question is then, do we believe it? It's not a matter of whether or not God said it. It's a matter of do we believe it? How did Abraham, who had no children, have a son when he was 100? Do you realize something? You know, God promised Abraham that he was going to be a father. And after 25 years, the promise came to pass because he believed it and he had a son. But do you realize when Sarah died and Abraham married another woman named Keturah, do you realize he had 6 more kids in his hundreds? The power of God was working so much in his body, when it came into it, it kept on working in his body. Read it. He married Keturah and he had 6 more kids after Isaac. How'd that happen? It was the power of God. It doesn't change. As long as you believe in God's power, it will work for you. But the minute you stop believing in God's power, you stop benefiting from it. Whatever God does is forever. Okay, how can we apply this to our life now? How many want to know how to apply immutability? You know, a sermon like, what did you learn today in church? I learned about immutability. Huh? How can we apply this to our life? Number 1, because God is immutable, we can be sure of who God is. He is holy. He is eternal. He is our loving Father, just as He has been to people since the beginning of the world. Pull up 1 Samuel 2:2. 1 Samuel 2:2. Not the 2:2 in ballet, but you know what I mean. 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. Whew. There is no rock like our God. So we can be sure of who God is. All right? Listen, God's, as I said this before, God's not going to stop loving you. If you choose to not believe God from this moment on, God doesn't stop loving you. God doesn't say, well, you don't believe me, so I'm not going to love you. Huh? No, that's not what God does. Now, if anything changes in our relationship with God, it's always us changing. God is never the one who walks out of a relationship, it's us. God is never the one who gives up, it's us. God hasn't quit believing in you. He's still believing that His plans for you are going to come to pass. Go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90. Well, we better read 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Do you realize that every generation can find a dwelling place in God? Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you have formed the earth and the world, even from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the first thing that we know from immutability is that we can know who God is. That's important. You want to know who's giving you the promise. You want to know the character of the person who's making these claims. You want to know the nature of a person who's telling you these things. We can know God. Number two, we can be sure that God's love for us is constant and sure. Say this with me. Say, God has never stopped loving me. And what does He ask in return? He asks for us to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. The same way He's asking us to love Him, the same way that He loves us. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. Right? From the moment you become a Christian, it's full-time. It's your whole heart, it's your whole strength, it's your whole soul. Everything. You got to be all in for God. All right? And if you think you can take a break from that, anytime we depart from being all in, that's when the devil gives place. That's when we allow the devil to come in and reap destruction in our life. Did you know that the devil, Ephesians 4 tells us, give no place to the devil. He just needs he's a serpent. He can get into small areas. And when we stop walking with God for whatever reason, maybe it's a crack, the devil can find a way in. And what he does then, first of all, he tries to separate you from fellowship. He tries to get you away from the herd. Right? You know, I watch a lot of wildlife shows. You know, and I like watching the big cats. Even the lions, as powerful as they are, they don't attack a herd head on. You know who they attack? The ones on the outskirts. They try to divide the ones from the herd so that they can become prey for the predator. And if Satan can divide you from God's plan for your life, then he's got you. If he can cause you to doubt God, then he's got you. If he can cause you to disbelieve God, then he's got you. We can be sure that God's love for us is constant. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34 says this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Can we do that? Let's give thanks to God. Why? Because he is good. Oh, Father, we thank you because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. See, when you love God, you have no problem saying those words. It's when we have a problem with God that we have a hard time saying those words. Did you know that Romans 8 tells us nothing can separate you from God's love? Nothing is strong enough to separate you from God's love. In other words, nothing you do, nothing you say can stop God from loving you. God loves you. You might as well face it. God loves you. You might as well accept it. God loves you. You mean me? Yes, I'm talking to you. The devil is the one who lies to you and tells you that God loves you. The devil lies to you and tells you that you're all alone. The devil lies to you and tells you that no one is for you. That's a lie. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you. He's always been for you. He's not stopped being for you. Let's just accept it. Say, God is for me, devil. Shut up. And he will. You got to take your authority over the devil. You know the same authority that Jesus had over the devil we have? Did not Jesus say, I give you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? Amen. Listen, you can mess with the devil and he can't hurt you. When I say mess with the devil, I mean take your authority over him and stop him from working in your family, working in your life, working in your finances, working in your self-esteem. It's time that we stop believing lies and start believing the truth. The only way to defeat a lie is with the truth. Number three, the third application that we can take away of God's immutability is that we can be sure God will sustain us in hard times. He will not leave us alone, but he will guide us through troubles that are sure to come our way. The Lord wants you to dwell in safety. He wants you to have a sweet sleep. He wants you to have peace in the midst of trouble. So when you know who God is, and when you know that he loves you, you know that when you face hard times, he's going to be right there with you. When God led the Israelites through the wilderness, how far away was God? He was there in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He guarded their front, he guarded their back. He provided for them water, he provided for them food, he made their feet not swell for 40 years, and all the ladies said amen. God didn't leave them to discover on their own through the wilderness. Jesus himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I will be with you always. Does that mean he won't be with you on the airplane because he said, lo? No, it's not. It's okay to have fun, isn't it? So, knowing that God is immutable, we know who he is. He's trustworthy. He cannot lie. He's truthful. He's not going to change. And we know that his love for us is constant and sure, then we know that he'll sustain us in hard times. Listen, we're all going to face hard times at some point. But the one who can carry you through the hard times is right there. It was his presence that came in the prison at midnight. Because why? They praised him. And whenever praise is going up to heaven, God's presence is there because he inhabits the praises. He was inhabiting their praises, and he broke the chains and the prison doors open. Can you say amen? See, God's a comforter. And when Jesus left, he gave us another comforter, just like him. Same nature, same character, same reliability, same immutability, the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. We're just like God. We're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. God is a spirit. His body was Jesus. And God has a soul. What's God's soul? God's soul is his personality. God is fun. God is fun-loving. God goes around blessing children and feeding thousands of people. God is a compassionate God. A fourth thing that we can learn from the immutability is we got to be sure that God has a plan for our life. Jeremiah 29:11, know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you an expected end. Say, God's got plans for me. And he's waiting for you to fulfill those plans. I mean, God gave you the plan. God will help you fulfill the plan, but you got to do the plan. Those who do nothing will get nothing. God wants the best for you. He has the best in mind for you. He wants to lead us in his perfect will. The only thing is, he can't look on sin. So when we're involved, when we're willfully sinning, we take God's attention, God loses his focus on us because he can't look at sin. What did God do when Jesus was on the cross and all the sin of the world came onto him? What did the Bible say? God turned his back, didn't he? My God, why have you forsaken me? Did not Jesus say that on the cross? Why did he forsake him? Because at that moment, he took sin on him. And for that brief moment, the only time in Jesus' history the Father looked away from him was the time that he took our sin. But then the Father looked back on him when he rose him from the dead. Amen? So, God made provision. He said, if you confess your sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the key to getting cleansed and forgiven, listen, God's already forgiven you, but to confess it, that benefits us to receive the forgiveness. The forgiveness that's already been provided. Did you ever hear God say, I'm sorry, my forgiveness wasn't good enough, let me do it again? I mean, there was a time when Jesus prayed for someone twice. He prayed for the blind man, and Jesus said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees, and he prayed for him again. And then his eyes were fine. Amen? But God has a plan for you. Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until he comes again. I want to make a t-shirt, and I want it to say, under construction. Because God began a good work in me, and he's finishing the work, but until the work is complete, I'm under construction, right? I'm being remodeled by God every day. So, the immutability of God, it gives us comfort and security in who we are, and who God is. You got to know whose you are, and you got to know who God is. Right? Amen. Knowing God doesn't change it provides us with an anchor to the soul, just like it said in Hebrews. You know, an anchor keeps the boat steady. When a storm comes in life, you can throw out the anchor to your soul, and your soul will be secure on the rock. Right? We have an anchor to the soul. We live in a very rapidly changing culture, don't we? Things are changing. Some of us thought things that are changing would never change, but they're changing. And in this rapidly changing culture, it's good to know that there is one thing that doesn't change, and that is God. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our chief cornerstone. Amen? When we're pulled in many different directions and we're searching for answers, we can know that God is constant, dependable, and faithful to help us when we ask. Do you know that about God? Are you confident in God to help you so that you're confident enough to ask Him? Listen, it's always good to stop and ask God for directions when you don't know the way. God will always give you the directions. You know, there's an insurance company. They use the symbol of the rock. I don't know if they still use it. Get a piece of the rock, right? Well, the rock that they're referring to is the Rock of Gibraltar, which is outside of Spain. It's a rock that has stood. It has withstood storms, waves, wind, and it's still standing today. Why don't you get a piece of the rock today? Not the Rock of Gibraltar. Because getting a piece of the Rock of Gibraltar is not going to do you any good. But you get a piece of the rock. The rock called Jesus. The rock who is higher than I. The rock who's steadfast, secure, strong. He's a strong tower. He's a strong fortress. Those who run to Him find safety. So let's run to God today. So you know who God is. You know that He loves you. You know that He will sustain you in hard times. You know that He has a plan for you. That's what we can take away from that God doesn't change. Amen? Do you know that the plans for you that God originally had are still in effect today? The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God's not going to repent that He's not going to change His mind and call you to something different. Then why am I not in God's call? Because that's something in you that has to change. If you're not where God wants you to be, then you have to move. Right? When things go bad, it's not that God left you. It's an opportunity for you to turn to Him. So let's turn to God today. Amen? If you have a need in your life, we have a good, unchanging God who can meet every need. Spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, God wants to meet your needs today. He wants to help you and bless you. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen? So if you're here today and you need some needs to be fulfilled in your life, I want you to come. And we would love to pray for you. We believe in the laying on of hands and our prayer. And especially, I want Jim and Tanya to come. I'm going to pray for them. Many of you don't know this, but they saw us carrying the cross. They didn't know that we were the church carrying the cross. And they went by their side and they said, you know what? We need victory in our life. And they came the Sunday after the day we carried the cross. They took our picture even. But it was something that God used to speak to them. And God wants you to know that He's working on every situation, and He's going to work out everything to His will. God works out all things good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Just come on up here. And if you're here today and you have a need in your life, God wants to help meet that need, and He'll do it through the anointing of God. Amen? So I want you to come. Those who have a need, come now and receive from heaven. Father, I bless this couple in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you have began a good work in them.